It's URN.
I'm gone. That's the wicket. And the expression changes immediately. Number 600 for Jimmy Anderson.
Hello and welcome to Sticky Wickets, the only podcast that is on a bit of a come down from the Trent Bridge episode. I'm slightly tired and hangover, so who do I need to bring some energy to the podcast? That's right, the podcast equivalent of Sam Curran. He gives Surrey every ounce of energy and he gives that to URN. And he's certainly the better of the two. Toby, how are you today, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. Yeah, cheers for the introduction. So it's nice to hear all that.
Good to hear. We are going to be reviewing England's winter, especially England's white ball, last few fixtures. We will also keep you up to date with the world of cricket. And of course, we will have a game as part of the URN Ashes, which I currently lead 6-5. But that could all change today as we get James's analysis on our commentary competition. Let's start with England's T20 form, and then we will move to the ODI performances. Toby, what were your thoughts on the T20 series between England's men against India, which England lost 3-2?
Yeah, it was a bit of a shame. It was looking so good after the first three matches when we were 2-1 up, and then India managed to come back and win those final two matches. Not necessarily with ease, but with a bit of comfort, I'd say. They obviously found out some of their seamers who came back into the side look fantastic. Thakur being the main one, and obviously Bhuvneshwar Kumar as well. What a player he is. As well as Washington Sundar continuing his form, I guess, from the Test series. England struggled a bit. Joss Butler at the top of the order, and David Malan as well, pick of the batsman. Butler averaged 43, which was pretty good. None of the other English batsmen really averaged in the 40s, which was a shame. And on the bowling front, it was Jofra and Mark Wood who were just carrying England through to the win. So I think it was a shame we didn't win it, but I'd say it hopefully means we have a chance at the World Cup. There's a lot more experience for our younger players, not only in the T20s, but also in the ODIs, where they're probably more from them. And I'd say it does show Morgan a bit more about the team and who can perhaps come into the side. One thing we have learned, I would say, about the T20s, which actually came in the ODI series for me, was Liam Livingstone, I think, really showed off his quality. The two matches he played, I think it was, he looked fantastic for me. Hit really, really good 30 and I think a 20 as well in the second match, which helped England finish off the match. 20 not out, I think it was. That's good to see from them. England just need to keep going. They've probably not got loads of T20s coming up, but when they do, they need to keep practicing and working out who their final 11 is, because I think they have the core basis behind it, but it's the few tweaks here and there, maybe their sort of final seamer and their number 7 batsman as well between Sam Curran and Moeen Ali. And one thing that was brought up quite a lot was whether Ben Stokes should be higher up the order. He was batting 6 for a lot of the series, and I think maybe moving up to number 4 or number 3 even could be a better option depending on the circumstances. So I think Morgan will look to the IPL and to the upcoming series to really focus on how the team should be set up. Don, what did you think of the series?
T20s, you know what? It's not worrying. If anything, it's given me a lot of positivity going into the World Cup. What we showed was a lot of depth. And think about all the good players who still aren't in that side or who didn't make an appearance in the T20 series. For the World Cup, what I'm quite excited for is, you mentioned there that we don't have a fixed 11, and you said that was a bad thing, and I get that, but the only thing I'd say is that means we can play almost a horses for courses. So if we're playing someone like Sri Lanka or New Zealand in the space of 4 days, we'll be able to adapt to their strengths and what our strengths are, because it's such an in-depth squad. I think this series really showed that, and I think Morgan, I think it's quite a harsh sort of tour to do well in, because India is such a difficult place to go, especially with the pitches. And we've got to remember those pitches, they were okay. They're a bit better than the tests, but also the ICC will be in control of the pitches at the World Cup. So you know what? I think it's a perfectly fine series. And well, it's been fine for most people, but Jofra Archer will miss the first 4 games of the Rajasthan Royals due to a finger injury. We posted about it on our social media. Quite a comical injury, really. I think what this past few white ball games have shown is that he might not be England's fast premier bowler anymore. Toby, what's your thoughts on this sort of Mark Wood renaissance?
I think it's great to see. I think for me, Archer probably is still our main bowler. And I think for us to do well in the World Cup, to win the World Cup, we need him to be fit and firing, because having one seam bowler leading the line, you can't have that. You need the backup. And I think Wood and Archer, the two of them together, it's unbelievable to see the pace they're bowling at. I think I saw in the first or second one when Jordan was bowling well as well, we had three bowlers over 90 mile an hour as an average speed or something, which was mental for an English side. You'd normally think of Jimmy Anderson, Chris Wokes, Stuart Broad, Sam Curran, these sort of 80 odd mile an hour bowlers who sort of right arm over, good line and length, and get dispatched in T20s. But I think it's great to see the variation we have. Although Tom Curran has really been struggling the past sort of year since the World Cup, really, hopefully he'll come back into a bit of form. Sam Curran as well didn't bowl as much as perhaps I'd have liked to see him bowl, to really give him a bit more experience and confidence in the Indian conditions, and Ben Stokes as well, who was almost favoured more as a bowler than Sam Curran. So it's good to see. And then obviously Adil Rashid as well, arguably the best leg spinner, wrist spinner in the world right now, I'd say. Maybe Rashid Khan up there as well, after his phenomenal performance for Afghanistan in the test matches as well a few weeks ago. So I think it's good to see, and we really do need just our pace attack to keep going and keep thriving strong, because the Indian pitches did definitely seem more favourable to pace while we've been there for this white ball series. So I think for the World Cup, it's likely it will be similar with spin as well, perhaps during the middle overs, and maybe a bit up top as well, as it often is in T20. So I'm hoping to see this pace attack really thrive over the coming year before the World Cup. And now onto the ODI discussion. England lost the series 2-1. Unfortunately, it's disappointing for both of us, it's fair to say. But Don, what were your thoughts on the series as a whole?
Yeah, I think disappointing is the right word, because came so close in the final game. Sammy Curran putting in a lot of effort, and it's one of those rare things you see in cricket, a player getting absolutely drenched in sweat, isn't his sort of kit was clinging to him, like England were clinging on to him as our last sort of source of hope. I think it was an all right series. I think when England won, they won big, and it's very similar in the T20s. We dominated games, but there's so throughout this white ball period, England have been in good positions and then folded. Batsmen have got starts, your 30s and 20s, and then fallen away. And that's where I'm getting a little bit worried for the World Cup, because it's a knockout tournament. If we face India or Pakistan in a sort of quarterfinal, two teams that can be very hot and cold at World Cups, if we face one of those and we fold in a good position, then that's tournament over. It's not a league where you can recover from that. It's game over. So I was a bit worried by that. But again, the bowling, really good. Stokes showed off his talents in the second ODI. It was one of the most comical pieces of cricket, just that sort of 20-minute period in dropping catches and misfielding, Kohli getting so wound up. And I'm getting to the point now where I view Virat Kohli as almost Ronaldo. I don't like him. I admit, no, don't get on my back, Indian fans. I think he's a great player. I think he's a master of the game in all formats. But I love to see him get annoyed, because it is just so funny, because just the way Bairstow and Stokes were hitting the ball about, it was like he was facing my sort of 60 mile an hour cutters. It was so easy for them. So yeah, that was really good to see. But overall, I think England will be disappointed not to get one series of victory out of this. But I think with how close it came to on the final game, I think we can almost view it as a meh sort of series. Toby, what were your thoughts on the series?
Yeah, I agree. I'd say I think as many pundits have recently been saying, ODI is their third favourite form of cricket right now, and I think that is the case. Now that the World Cup happened last year, we've got another 3 years, whatever, to wait till the next ODI World Cup comes round. I think there'll be a distinct lack of ODI cricket over the next 2 years, with two T20 World Cups coming up. So I'd have thought ODI will perhaps slip into the background, but I still think it is fantastic. But I do always find there's sort of a middle period where it really struggles. And I think England in particular have really struggled with it. There's been the middle over wicket taker we've really lost, with Liam Plunkett sort of being ejected from the squad after our World Cup win. And Mark Wood trying to take his place and doing fantastically. But it doesn't seem to have worked quite as well with just him. In the World Cup, they had him and Plunkett. And Rashid and Ali were both firing as well. So So we kind of almost need another middle order wicket taker, I'd say, in there. Rashid didn't perhaps bowl quite as well as he would have wanted to in the ODIs. Moeen Ali, very economical, particularly in that last game, I think went about four and over, but yet again struggled to take wickets. So I think we perhaps need to find someone in the middle to take wickets, as well as up top would usually have Wokes and Archer, and at the death those two would be bowling again as well. So I don't think that matters necessarily as much. But I think it did show with the averages of our bowlers. When you look at it, Liam Livingston had our highest average of 20. He only took one wicket for 20, so that doesn't work as well. But then Mark Wood was the only other bowler under 30 with an averaging 21.8, which is phenomenal. So I think we did need a few more people to back Mark Wood up again, with Archer and Wokes both missing. The Currans, I thought, okay, neither really with the ball lit up the stage. Reece Topley, yeah, look pretty good, I'd say, sort of bowling at the top and at the end, as you might expect from him.
I was very impressed with him, Reece Topley. I think he's someone who's been through the England setup a few times, never been able to stake a claim in the ODI side permanently. But I think he's really, it's very unfortunate for the good bowling side we've got at the moment, but he's almost been lost. And Toby, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Do you think Topley's got a chance at making a long-term stay in the England ODI side?
I would say so. I think with David Willey sort of being removed before the last World Cup and not coming back into the side, they're going to look for a left-armer if Sam Curran isn't necessarily, if they don't think he's the man for them. So I think he's got a really good chance. He was injured for a long time. I remember he made his debut about when he was 19 or something for England and came onto the scene and looked really, really good. Then had, I think, quite a bad back injury, and for a few years, spent a few years out of the game and contemplated retiring before the season before last, had a fantastic blast and time, I think it's Sussex, I want to say, before he's now come to Surrey. And for the few games that I saw last season, he looked phenomenal. Really, even he's not necessarily the quickest, it seems he bowls a heavy ball and really pushes the batsman, and they have to be on their toes the whole time, ready for anything really. So I think he's got a chance, definitely.
So that's someone to look out for in the future, and the future of English cricket does look very bright indeed, with today being a very social media day for the ECB. It was very noticeable how the ECB is targeting a very different market for cricket. On Instagram, while sort of scrolling in bed this morning, I noticed the 100 cap filter was becoming a bit popular, and today one of the Loose Women, don't ask me who, advertised, as well as another social media influencer, again, don't ask me who. These were both two black women appealing to a very different demographic to what cricket has been in the past. It's fair to say it's been quite a, let's be honest, a 30 to 20 year old sort of demographic going to these games, and to see a brand new sort of market come into it. It's been very white orientated, and this is the 100 really trying to change, it's fair to say, with who they put the advertising out to. It's also appears the 100 is going for an almost NFL style merchandise program with one kit supplier, New Balance, one website to purchase this off, which launched today, and one hat manufacturer, New Era, which is a brand often used in American sports as the big cap franchise. Toby, the recent decisions for the 100, how excited should people be for what the 100 is going to be with what you've seen today?
Oh, hugely excited. I think there's been a lot of negativity around it since it was announced 2 years ago, 3 years ago, even now it might have been. I think people need to be excited. It's a franchise tournament. England are finally caught up with the times and are finally getting involved with it. What's the worst that happens? It's okay, fine. It's going to improve. It's not going to be a complete failure. People are going to enjoy it. It's more cricket, which I think everyone should be happy about. It's going to encourage more of the game. The women's game in particular, I think, are going to get a lot out of this. There's so many international players coming across and playing in it, two or three at least per franchise, and I think it's going to be fantastic. Don, what are your thoughts though on the NFL style of branding and selling of equipment and sponsorship?
I think it's a really clever move by the ECB. So the NFL, and what they do is every kit is made by Nike instead of the Premier League, where teams in New Balance, Adidas and Puma and all that, it's one brand, Nike, to give all the kits out, and for the 100, it's going to be New Balance. So that means all the money goes into one big pot and is distributed evenly between the teams. So no team gets an advantage. So Yorkshire, who've unveiled their quite splendid kit, it's fair to say, which we will have a kit podcast, I'm sure, coming out very soon. That means Yorkshire will get loads of money, where someone like, I'm going to pick on Somerset here, I'm sorry, Somerset fans, but who might have a smaller demographic. So just say 10 shirts are bought from Yorkshire and one is bought from Somerset. 11, let's say they're all £1, £11 goes into the pot and everyone gets a fair share of that. And I think with the losses expected for the county championship with no fans, I think that's a very, very good idea. Also, it just looks nice. I mean, the kits, they're very bold. I think that's the best way to put it. They'll be good for the children audience. I think it's fair to say they're very, I don't want to say cartoon-like, but they're very eye-catching. If you're scrolling through telly, you're not going to miss the Trent Rockets kit. The Simpsons are designed to be yellow to catch people's attention. And I think those kits are sort of come from the same route, really. I think it's really good to see that the ECB are trying to do something different. And it's fair to say some of the T20 kits this year, they're going to need some more source of income, because we'll talk about this in our kit podcast. But wow, those are some interesting kits. And I think they're not going to sell that many unless something's changed. Yeah.
On a slightly different note, Dom, who do you think you might be following the most or supporting as a team in the hundreds?
I genuinely don't know. I think the sort of Yorkshire team will always get a big following. I think because Yorkshire pretty much has more cricket clubs than Australia or something ridiculous. I think both London clubs will have a very good tournament. Lords and the Oval, people will just go for that. And if that means it's a tourist club, that's still money going into the ECB. The teams I'm a bit worried about are down south in the coast teams. There will be no El Clasico, I'm afraid, in the 100. It's a bit disappointing. I think the very south and the very northerly teams, I'd be a bit worried about for support. But with players like Archer and Stokes at either end of the country, I'm sure fans will go in. It's just the stadiums aren't quite the same as in London, Manchester and Yorkshire. But I think it's going to be really exciting times. And with the 100 sort of advertising campaign with the Loose Woman and social media influencer, I'm sorry, I can't remember names. I'm rubbish at names, aren't I, Tom? It's fair to say this is going to be a different market, and hopefully it gets new people into the game. It's something we both strive for. And yeah, I can't wait to be at the 100 and seeing a variety of people and a variety of backgrounds and a variety of ages. So it should be really exciting.
No, that's good to hear. There's been a huge amount of cricket across the world. So here's a quick roundup from it. Firstly, New Zealand have dominated Bangladesh in their T20 series, aiming for a whitewash on Thursday after a previous whitewash in the ODI series. South Africa's women beat their Indian counterparts 2-1 in a T20 series victory. I think this defeat might push some at the BCCI to organise an initial women's IPL. It's fair to say we both think it's time. There's been so much talk about it, and it just doesn't seem right, really, and a bit silly from the BCCI. Also, there's been an entertaining T20 series between New Zealand's women and the Aussie women, with it being 1-1 going into the final T20 tomorrow or later today, depending on when this comes out. Former Ireland captain Gary Wilson has confirmed his retirement. Gary had 188 caps for his country and played in some of the most monumental moments in Irish cricket, the historic win against England in 2011 and their first Irish Test match, as well as being Surrey's wicketkeeper for a few years, if I remember correctly. And finally, Rakeem Cornwall scored another 50. What a guy.
Thank you for that roundup, Toby. This is URN. Right, it's time for a quiz, and it's called The Name of the Game. I have searched over thousands and millions of T20 leagues and picked out some of the best names I could find. Toby will be given a league, and I will give him three names. All Toby has to do is spot the real T20 franchise. So I will start you off with... Oh, sorry, I should set you a target. I'm going to say 4 to win, okay? So we're going to start with the Afghanistan T20 League. So here are the three teams. You can ask me a few questions about the logo of each, and you can see it's almost a would I lie to you sort of round. Okay, so in Afghanistan T20 League, we have the Boost Defenders, the Kabul Red Bulls, and the Kandahar Cardinals. Toby, what's your thoughts?
Oh, I don't know. The first one to me doesn't sound that real because it doesn't have a place name in it. But that could be you trying to trick me. which I wouldn't be surprised about. The Cardin was the second and third one, sorry?
Okay, so the Carball Red Bulls and the Cardahar Cardinals. So you can ask me some questions about the logo, maybe.
Okay, so can you describe their logos to me then, Dom?
Okay, I've just got them up here. So the Boost Defenders is almost a fort with some Afghani-style writing underneath with a cricket ball that's on fire. It's got some axes. It looks quite cool. The Carball Red Bulls, it's an image of a famous Carball building with the Red Bull logo in the tower sort of area. And the Cardahar Cardinals are pretty much a rip-off of the Arizona Cardinals, it's fair to say. But, yeah, which one of those is the real team? Is it going to be the Boost Defenders, which sounds like a great chocolate bar, the Carball Red Bulls, or the Cardahar Cardinals?
I'm going to go for the Red Bulls, I think, being the real team.
I'm afraid it wasn't. It was the Boost Defenders are the real team there. So you've got five left. You need to get four right. So we're going to move to Zimbabwe, of course. Zimbabwe Stanbic T20 Cricket League. You have a fun choice here. Southern Rocks, Northern Rocks, or Eastern Rocks?
Oh, wow. Okay. Can you describe all of their logos for me then, please? Is it just a rock with Southern, Northern, or Western written on?
Have a look for you now. Imagine a sort of calypso bar that does, like, I'm going to say crazy golf. That style of writing and just stones as wickets, really. And that's pretty much it. Whether it's Southern, Northern, or Eastern. Okay. This is quite a hard one because you can't really base it off anything.
No. I'm going to go for Northern.
I'm afraid Northern Rock was a brand in 2008 that went bust and led to, well, it's fair to say, an economic crisis. I'm afraid it was Southern Rocks. Right. You've got to get the next four right here, Toby. You put yourself in a difficult situation. It's the Euro T20 Slam. Okay, so let's start with the Dublin Devils, or the Rotterdam Rhinos, or Amsterdam Smoke.
I have not much of an idea. I'm pretty sure that all three teams all three cities have a team in the Euro Super League, which actually I'm not sure if they've even had a season yet.
I think they had a half a season.
Yeah.
Weird.
Because I remember the first season was announced and meant to start within about a month, and that was then postponed. And then I guess I had half a season, and then I think last season was obviously COVID, and then this season due to come up in a few months probably. I feel like Amsterdam Smoke doesn't sound like it should be a team, but the other two are alliteration, and I think you got me with that in the first one a little bit with the CC, which I thought that's not going to be right. But then again, I don't really know. Dublin Devils sounds like you've made it up, so I don't think it's that. Rotterdam Rhinos also sounds like you've made it up, but as does the Amsterdam Smoke.
Almost I picked those three to make them sound like they're all made up, Toby.
Yeah, it's very, very clever by you here, Dom. I'm going to go for Amsterdam Smoke as the real one.
Wow. Okay, that's incredible. It's Rotterdam Rhinos. You really thought a Euro T20 Slam team would go with such a heavy reference feed with Amsterdam Smoke. That was right. I'm afraid Toby can only tie this. So we are going to move to Nepal. You need to get the next three right, okay? So the Nepalese Everest Premier League, or the EPL as they've called it, which is interesting. No copyright issues there. So we start with the Himalayan Hot Stuff, the Lalitpur Patriots, or the Mountain Climbers 11. Who is the real one there?
What was the second one again? Sorry, Dom.
Lalitpur Patriots.
Lalitpur Patriots. I'm going to go, I think the first one, I'm just going to cancel that one now. That doesn't sound real. The second one, I think it could be, because I can't imagine you would have come up with Lalitpur as a name. So if you have, well done.
I've got Google Maps, Toby.
I'm still going to go with the second one, I think.
And it's your first one right, Tony. Yes. The Mountain Climbers 11, I thought was actually quite a cool name.
I agree.
I think the Himalayan Hot Stuff was a bit adventurous.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to Major League Cricket in America. So here we go. Is it A, the Somerset Cavaliers, or is it the B, Bolton Bandits, or is it C, the Michigan Munchers?
Michigan Munchers, I have a feeling, is not true. If it is, I mean, I think
we should talk about Michigan Munchers shirts, if it's true.
If it is, I think we should. And so what was it, Somerset?
What was Cavaliers. The
Somerset Cavaliers.
Boston Bandits.
Boston Bandits. That doesn't... The problem is they're American. They could do whatever they want and people would love it. I think I'm going to have to go with the Somerset Cavaliers.
It's true. The Somerset Cavaliers is right. I thought I'd throw you off with a Somerset. Now, if you get this one right, it is a tie. So we'll go to the Sri Lankan Premier League, the SLPL. So you have a chance here, Toby, to get the tie. Is it Uva Next, or is it Colombo's Dumbos, or is it Wayama Padres?
Oh, wow. I feel like Colombo Dumbos. I think that's probably not. Probably not. I think, unlike the Americans, that would be a step too far for them. In I'm going to go with A.
You've only tied it. Uva Next is a real Sri Lankan Premier League team. And that wraps up the quiz with a tie. And ironically, we don't have a super over ready.
Should we perhaps do use the James's?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think you accept this as a tie. And that will go to the clip now of what James thought of our commentary.
To quote the wise words of Mr. Dom Allen, hello, Sticky Wicket fans. It is James here, back with my final thoughts on the commentary challenge which I set last week for the lads to do at Trent Bridge. Look, this was really, really difficult. Both lads, in the spirit of the URN Awards, putting forward excellent nominations. I thought Toby's entry was excellent, full of the terminology and the insight that you would expect from Mr. Reynolds. Dom Allen, on the other hand, brilliant description of the action in front of him. And I think for that, and for a particular phrase which he used towards the end of his entry, the phrase, a gentlemanly nudge, I'm going to edge it in Mr. Allen's direction. So a very, very close contest. I thought both lads did superbly and have got a future in the world of cricket broadcasting ahead of them. But on this particular occasion, Toby, I'm afraid to say, Dom Allen takes the title. And that's got nothing to do with the fact that he's a co-host of my podcast, and I'd be afraid of answering a Zoom call with an angry Dom Allen on the other end.
Thank you so much, James. No wonder you are head of URN Sport. Absolute legend. Absolute legend. It's, and I'll say it for the third time. Absolute legend. Thank you, James.
Yeah, so Dom, what a win for you there. And I guess you're back on the quizzes next week again. So...
Hopefully. Yeah, if anyone wants to send in some quiz ideas, please do at stickywickets_URN. We will definitely get it involved if it's got some legs.
Yeah, we've obviously had the one sent in by Rachel, I think it was,
I believe, from
Belgium. And that was a great quiz as well. So if anyone else has any ideas, please let us know and we'll definitely get them going. I think we have a couple ideas lined up as well. And possibly another interview next week. So we'll hopefully see you guys soon. Thank you guys so much for listening. We've still got so many episodes available on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and also under Sticky Wicket as well as under URN. So depending on where you're listening, they're both there for you. We've got Ellie Oldroyd, Yaz Rana, Chris Millard, and Ian Cobain, Gloucestershire cricketer, all available. So go give them a listen if you haven't already. All of them really, really great interviews and fantastic to hear from them all. So make sure you guys subscribe to our podcasts, follow us on Instagram and Twitter with stickywicket_URN and URN Sticky Wicket. And review and share this podcast, guys. It really helps us. Give us some feedback. Tell your friends and go well.
Cheers.